You guys been given any gifts this morning? Any gifts this morning you've been given?
Gifts of worship. Gifts of amazing worship.
Gifts of amazing worship.
Fellowship.
Pam?
Had a good night's
sleep. Yeah. 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 That worship was a gift, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, those guys that do that worship for us, there's faith and trust and work and organization, and I wonder if we should say thanks to the band, but maybe especially to Mike. He makes the whole thing run. And so let's give these guys a hand. That was a gift. Your work, I know the Lord will reward it, but the Bible says give honor where honor is due. So we were gifted. Thank you. If you've never been to Desert's End, my name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to do, and if you were here last week, which means you're not new, then you know what book we started last week. What did we start? 2 Corinthians. And what do we talk about? Yeah, God's comfort. The whole beginning section is on God's comfort. And I'm going to leave you to read that on your own sometime, because we're not going to talk about that. I'm anxious to get into the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm anxious to start walking through the chapters and the verses and what in the world it says. But I would like to continue basically the end of the last message into today and then do a little workshop. Sometimes a group of believers together, they do different things together. This morning, it's going to be workshoppy. And I'll explain what I mean when we get there. But when I say the end of the last message, what I'm referring to is we just, after we introed the book of 2 Corinthians and we walked through the beginning, we just kind of started, talked about God's comfort. As Mike said, bringing your pain to God or bringing your emotion to God. And that's where I would like to start. So this is where, let me tell you where we're going. Then we'll pray, and then we'll go there. I'd like to give some comments on biblical lament. And then I would like to make one point about who lament is for. And then we are going to do it individually and not collectively at this point. So that's what we're going to do. So the last 10 minutes, you'll just get a chance to sit and be with God. So that's where we're going. So let's pray. Ask God to bless us. Well, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you said you were God, but you also said we could pray directly to the Father. So, Father, here we are. And Lord, I think you're prone to look down at us and smile, and as there are churches all over and they come and they sing to you, and obviously there are people in this church just watching us worship that we're delighting in you. And God, you tell us you delight in us. God, there is something you were pleased with this morning, and I thank you for it. And Lord, may you be pleased with how we engage with your word and your truth. And help us walk like your great saints walked. Help us walk like Jesus, you walked when you were here. Lord, we want to be like that. God, we know that with you, There are answers for the difficult things we run into in life. And so, God, we look to you and grant us power, God, to follow you in Jesus' name. All right. How about a definition of lament? Definition of lament. A prayer of pain that leads to trust. A prayer of pain that leads to trust. Now, when we look at the book of Psalms, this is where we're going to principally be this morning, in the book of Psalms, the word psalm means to praise or to shine. It's talking about praise. So this is what the Psalms are. This is praise. Except there's something really kind of funny. One third of the Psalms are lament. They seem to be under the title praise. Now, how do you know which psalms are the lament psalms? Well, they're the ones that don't make it into our church services. They're the ones that don't get read out loud, that the Christian artists don't normally make songs about. They're those ones. That's how you know. I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek, but we have a holy book, but we've taken a whole category of psalms and almost exiled them. Things that were meant for corporate worship, we've pushed aside. But you know what I think of when I try to reflect on the sense that a bunch of these psalms are lament and sadness and mourning and anger. I think God wants my sad songs too. God wants the picture that I draw in black marker. God wants my song in the minor key. God wants all that. And there was a man who wrote a commentary on Lamentations. And I can't pronounce his name, but the title is called Prophetic Lament. And he said, and I agree with him, and people like to put fancy words on things. He said that we tend to just walk in what he calls triumphalism. And we want to jump to the victory. We want to jump to the success, to the celebration. And yet, God reveals himself in suffering. God has suffering as part of this human experience and our relationship with him. He was content for the Saturday that he was in the grave. To let the disciples struggle. And for believers to struggle. So if you only know God in the happy, you have more of God to know. And in our darkest moments, in the darkest moments of this nation, throughout history, God has been there. In the darkest moments in the church and in this church, God is there. In your personal darkest moments and in your history, God is there. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 139. I want you to show you something. You know verses from this psalm. This has some famous verses in it. So here we go. He starts out, he says, "You've searched me and you know me." Okay, and then in verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit?" And he says, "I can't go anywhere. You're everywhere and you know me." Verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you, and I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Have any of you heard that verse before? Read in a church? Yeah? Okay, let's keep going. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. All right, skip to I'm skipping too far. Okay, skip to 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there may be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. How many of you have heard that verse before? Okay, we've heard that. In church, you've heard it? In church. Okay. Let's look at the verse in between those two. You ready? Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. How many of you heard that one? Ha, Lizzie. All right, Lizzie. I don't know what kind of church that was, but that's different. What's going on here? What's going on? Like, there's lots of points I could say. I'm going to try to stay focused. Let's put this psalm together. This is what I think that's happening here. He's saying, you're everywhere. You know me so much. You think about me all the time. And because you know me that well, God, I'm just going to be honest. Would you kill them? I have names. Would you kill them? I hate them. Okay? And then, on the back side, he goes, well, I'm not sure, God, that that's right. And so, would you search me, and if that grieves you, if there's grievous ways in me, if there's things there that aren't good, would you lead me in the way of everlasting? I think that's how I put that together. That's what this psalmist is doing. And I think there is something that is so vulnerable, so intimate, to say, hey, I'm going to be honest with you, God, because you know all this anyway. And I'm going to honestly tell you, but then, because I'm not sure, I'm going to ask you, would you lead my spirit? And would you lead my thoughts? You know, we don't typically think of lament as anger, but let's expand it a little bit. We're talking about bringing our emotions to God. There's a rawness. And God can handle your honesty because he knows that. You know what Jesus said on the cross? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now that is from Psalm 22. And what Jesus is doing is he's invoking the whole psalm. Just like if I went up to you and I said the word amazing grace, I wouldn't be just saying words amazing grace. I would be invoking the song Amazing Grace, because we all know what the term amazing grace is in, what it refers to. All the truths in amazing grace is what I'm referring to. Jesus is referring to Psalm 22, and in Psalm 22, it says, hey, my bones are out of joint, my joints are pulling apart. My bones are being crushed. My heart melts like wax. There is pain that is getting expressed toward God. And then in Psalm 22, it's, but I trust you. And Jesus is saying is on the cross, is you're forsaking me, but I trust you. You can say, I am angry, but I trust you. If we're not honest, right, if we don't bring our emotions to God, what can happen is we end up without that intimacy, so we end up kind of having God at arm's length, because we're going, this part of me that's unsure, this part of me that's angry, this part, like, you don't get that part. You can stay away from that part. You know, I am a dad of a middle schooler. Isn't that crazy? And so, recently, if you're a dad of a middle schooler, I know there's not many, but there might be some who will be a dad of a middle schooler someday. Nate, you can be sure you'll be one. Jason, I'm less sure about you, but no, I'm just kidding. I only say that because Nate has children. So, I was trying to teach this. You could put on the top of the page, you could put, God, I am angry because, ... Okay, child, fill that in. God, I am angry, ... God, I will continue to trust you because ... Or, God, I am sad because the next page, but God, I trust you because God, here's my complaint. But here are the reasons I will trust. I am scared because. Have you been able to talk to God the way the psalmists do? This is what I'm talking about. Bringing the honesty, maybe the rawness, bringing the doubts. Have you been able to talk to God the way the psalmists do? Now let me make my point here about who lament is for. Things change all the time in the world. They're always changing. There will be things that you will have to mourn. There will be things that you will... loss will continue to happen. It is something that is going to walk into our lives, and we will have to process change. We will have to mourn. We will have to deal with. Now, how? I want you guys to talk to me. You guys are amazing people. How does God use trial, hardship, and pain in lives? What are your thoughts? Mike. Okay, to make us more like, can we, in his image. Can I just say Jesus?
Yeah.
Make us more like Jesus. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. completely. Second Corinthians 1 and 5. That's right. Ethan. That's good. Yeah, that's 2 Corinthians concept 1:9. There you go. I like it. Pam.
If we don't have hardships, we can't become stronger and we can't have God. We have to have hard to go through.
It helps us depend, but helps us become more perseverant individuals, stronger. Yeah, I like that. It's discipline to treat us as true sons. Keep us on the path. Thank you, Nate. Yes. Daniel.
Show his strength and glory through our weakness.
The faith people.
They're all good. Testing and refining our faith. Good. Yeah. Increase the hope. Okay. Did you have one? Did you? Okay. So this is where I want to go. Are you okay with hardship then? Are you okay with it? Because here's what can happen. We can have the sense, I'm going to take my life and I'm going to build it. So I'm going to build my life. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this rightly and do this in wisdom and I'm building my life and yes. And I have this hope that I'm going to build my life and I'm going to build it really strong and I'm going to build it so strong that I don't need any God anymore. God doesn't have to take care of me and I don't need His protection because I'm building my life. That's good. And then, so we have, that's what we're trying to do. Then God brings trial and difficulty and hardship into it, and we shake our fist at God. Now, if you shake your fist at God and there's stuff that you want that God isn't giving you, and you're trying to live this pain-free life, and God won't let you live this pain-free life, you won't heal well. You won't process the pain of life well. Because life is not, walking with God is not, I'm going to build my kingdom. It is also not, I want to build my kingdom with Jesus' help. I'm not building a life that works for us. See, because as a disciple, we take our orders from Him. So we bow our knee. And therefore, our goal is not our kingdom, but being a disciple in God's kingdom. I'm not trying to build a life in which I don't need God's care. I'm God's child. And if something hard comes into life and it brings glory to Him, well, then that's okay. If He brings something into life and He's making me like Jesus, well, that's okay. Now that person, if it's okay, it doesn't mean it's like 100% like shiny, happy rainbow okay. Those disciples still have to process change. They still have to process emotion. They still have to walk through hard things. But this is my point, is that those people who have bowed that knee and are about Jesus' kingdom, they fully heal. Versus the people that are trying to build their kingdom, they can still have wounds and scars upon scars that never really close up. A disciple says, my house, my car, they're just tools for God's kingdom. They're not building my kingdom. Now, if you won't let God have that place in your life, you won't lament, well, you'll probably not get over some of the pain that God asks you to go through. I tell you what, I really want to be the one that says, I'll go through this much pain, but no more. I really want to be the one that says, okay, that's enough, that's as far as I'll go. I really want to be the one that says, I'll work this hard, but no harder. I really want to be the one that's in control. But you know what else I want? And I know you sense this tension in you. I want to bow the knee and be a child of God that says, okay, you can lead me wherever you want. Because I know that that faith, as we allow God to do that, there's a testing of genuine faith that results in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where this goes. And you know, when Jesus was around, he always, wherever he saw faith, he pointed out, I see that, and I see that, and I see that, and he pointed out and he praised it. And to think, for me, that there are people down on earth, and God's looking around, and his eyes are going throughout the earth, and he goes, whoa, guys, did you see that faith? And that's what I want. Be able to walk through hard things with faith. Okay. This is my teaching. I'm going to teach you how. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to get pretty specific. I got 5 steps. You're going to need to take notes because we're going to do this in a minute. Okay. Step 1. That's what we talked about last week. Identify and bring emotion to God. That is step 1 in lamenting. In your darkness, to whom or what will you turn? What is your ultimate place of safety, protection, and help? And I want you to know, you will turn somewhere when things are hard. We can turn to things to distract from pain and emotion, media, food, pornography, alcohol, work, shopping, relationships, whatever. You will turn somewhere. You can, and I can have this tendency where I'm like, I'm fine. But it's really humbling to think that David, in the Psalms, he's the one going, you know, I'm not fine. And I want to be like that. And I think I'm fine. But I am turning somewhere to dull or mute pain. You know, one last point here about bringing our emotion to God, step 1. Like I said, I'm a dad of a middle schooler. You know what? I want to know what's hard for my middle schooler. I want to know what's really in that mind and that heart and that life. I don't want to just know. I don't want to just hear what she thinks I want to hear. And sometimes I so want to bring to God what I know God might want to hear, that I think I just get too spiritual for my own good, because God wants to know what's inside me just like I want to know what's inside my middle schooler. Psalm 142, verse 2. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. That's the pattern. Pray like the psalmists. Point 2. Step 2. This is a crucial one. What does it feel like is true? That's where you have to get to. It's fine to say, God, I'm sad. But what does it feel like is true? You know, in Psalm 144, the psalmist accuses God of sleeping on the job. Listen, he says, "Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord?" It's kind of funny, because I'm pretty sure, even in the Old Testament, the theology was not that God actually sleeps. That God was big enough and created everything that He didn't sleep. What's He saying? I feel like you're sleeping. I know in my head you're not sleeping, but it feels like you're sleeping. Turn to Psalm 13. We're going to read this psalm, and I want you to tell me what David feels is true. Page 423. Here we go. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Okay. What does David feel is true? He feels abandoned. Okay, what else? Yeah, like his enemies are going to win. Right? I feel like my enemy will win. Now, has David been given a promise that his enemy will win or that his enemy won't win? He's given a promise he's going to win. But does he feel that? No, I'm here. Yeah. Has God told David, I'm going to be with you? Yes. He knows that. But what does he feel like is true? God's abandoned him. So, we could pull out others. But, so you bring an emotion to God, and then you go, this is what I feel like is true. And when you say that, you're not saying it is true. You're just saying, this is what it feels like. It's part of that honesty. David feels like his enemy is going to win. All right, step 3, you can see it in in Psalm 13. After he shares his questions, hey, how long? He appeals to God. He has a request. Now, this is faith, a request that God works in the world to say something. What do you want God to do? Right? Deliver me from my persecutors. They're too strong for me. David says, I have a request. Here it is. I lay it. Sometimes we don't feel like we can make a request because we feel like God's abandoned us. So why even make a request? But we make a request, and that is faith. You are God's child. You are worthy to ask for things. Step 4. I wasn't sure what to label this step. I'm going to call it this. Wait, listen, read, remember. That's what I'm going to call it. Wait, listen, read, remember. Or if you want to put in a different word. But that is this. You give the Holy Spirit and God time to interact with you. Listen to God. Read the Bible. Remember promises. Remember things God does in your life. Let your soul come around to trust and faith. Give. And that can take time. Now, we don't want to just take our flesh and go, well, I need to get to trust and go, I'm going to trust. And just like that. At the same time, there is a choice. There'll always be a choice to decide to trust. So it's not like I'm just going to float along and then eventually I'm going to get to trust. You make an intentional choice to trust. So somewhere in the middle there's God bringing truth and us finding truth to grip and hold on to and trust. So there are Psalms that go through the difficulty part, the emotion, and this is what I feel like is true, and I ask for things, and they don't end in trust. Psalm 39, Psalm 88, they're just not there yet. So oftentimes it happens pretty quickly, but there are times and there are things and there are struggles of faith where it might not happen immediately. It might take a while. So that's that part. You know, we sang this song on waiting on God. A lot of pain in Christian life is waiting. Lots of people in the Bible had to wait. And anyway, wait, listen, read, remember. And then lastly, when you have truth in your heart that you either read or you come across or you, the Holy Spirit brings to mind or there's things you remember, whatever those truths are, speak the truths out loud and then speak trust in those truths. Man, it gives you strength to speak them out loud. I don't have to. You're sitting in a coffee shop journaling. But there's a declaration. This is true, and I trust in it. Even if it's just like David. But I trust in your unfailing love. I like the end of this one. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. He just, life's really hard. He feels like God's abandoned him. But he comes and he holds. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. And he remembers what God has done. And he trusts in steadfast love, verse 5. And then he says, I will sing. Because you have dealt bountifully. And that is that. Speaking truth, speaking trust. And that's basically the steps. There's 5 of them. I'll go over again because you're taking notes. Step 1, bring your emotion to God. Step 2, what do you feel like is true? Step 3, petition, appeal, ask. Step 4 is wait, read, listen, remember, and lastly, speak the truth and speak trust. God has laid out the Psalms as help, to help us in our relationship with God, to help us in our communication. God, to give us words when we don't have words. I heard one woman say, "The Psalms are my friends." I was like, okay. But I understood what she meant. And there's going to be a lot of loss in life. And I think it is good for us to learn. And I've watched people struggle with this process, really struggle with this. And then, as a result, really struggle in life as life continues to roll on. And so this is part of a practice in Christianity of bringing our emotions to God and letting the Holy Spirit lead us to truth that really is important. And for some people, this is really easy, and you're probably really bored. And for some people, this isn't easy. So you lay out 5 steps and you go, okay, I'm going to try this. So what I want to do is, sound guys are going to put on a song. It's basically Psalm 13 in a song form. I kind of like it. It's kind of mournful and then gets hopeful toward the end. They're gonna play that song twice. So it's about 10 minutes for us to spend with God and to try to walk in this process, which is why I had you take notes. We're going to do it. We're going to do it for about 10 minutes. And then I have a couple closing thoughts, and we'll do announcements. You will be delivered from every enemy, including suffering and death, because of God's steadfast love for you. How do you know? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. God will right every wrong. He will heal every hurt. He will wipe every tear. He will renew your broken body because of His steadfast love for you. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. Lord, you said if we rejoiced in trial, we'd be mature and complete and not lacking anything. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have here. I pray that this room, that we, that your children would rejoice in trial honestly. And then you said we'd be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's what we ask. I thank you for the rejoicing that was in this room. And I thank you for these trials. I pray that they would perform all that you have in mind for them. Like what I prayed at the beginning, Lord, grant us power. Grant us power, God, to experience what the psalmist experienced, to pray what the psalmist prayed. Lord, as I get older, the world is becoming more and more of a place of constant, unavoidable loss. Lord, we need your help. I thank you that your word and your spirit are there to help us. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd love to ask how you experienced that, but we don't have time. So maybe when you're drinking coffee or when you go to team, you could talk about how you experienced that. But we should move to announcements, Mr. Leone.
Yeah, and also wonder, number one, how did you experience? No.
No.